Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. It was not just for the young. I love that. I love that. Especially as you start getting older and you just start thinking about life and, you know what, sometimes, you know, you do things over and over and over again and you just be reminded. The Lord reminds you that new beginnings is not just for the young. It doesn't make a difference what age you are. we can all have a new beginning. Amen? And that's the beauty of the love of Christ. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We're New Beginnings Ministry, and we are on Blog Talk Radio here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we are an interactive Bible study. We're an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to participate with the studies or the talk, whomever that we are communicating with. The beauty I love about Blog Talk Radio is you never know who you're talking to or what state they may be from. We've just been blessed to have so many people from so many states that participate, and we just have a good time in the Lord. Amen. We're here to encourage each other, to build each other up, not to tear anyone down. And you know what? When you're talking about the Word of God, we all have a testimony. We all have something to share. We all have something to share. Amen? We're going to have prayer. Directly after we have prayer, then we're going to go into our scripture. And I'm going to be doing something a little different than we normally do. We're going to be coming from the book of Amos. Amos, the prophet Amos. Amen? We're going to be talking about prophet Amos and what went on during his era and how we relate that to everyday life, to today's life. Amen? We're going to try to bring it and sink it in with today's life, today. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for who you are. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you, Father, because you knew us from the very birth. You knew us, what we were going to go through. And Lord, Father, we thank you for just allowing us to be able to have a relationship with you. Father, what would we do without you? Through all our trials, through all our tribulations, you're always there, and we thank you. Father, we ask that you bless those who are less fortunate. There's somebody, Father, who may be laying in the hospital. There's someone who is sad over a loss in their family. Father, there's someone, Heavenly Father, that may be having financial problems. Lord, you know all of our needs, and we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just bless them richly. Father, we just ask that you would use us as vessels to be a blessing to others. We thank you, and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Our title tonight is, I Can See Clearly Now. I Can See Clearly Now. I am going to read from the book of Amos, and it's going to be from 4:2 to 4:4. But I'm going to go through the historical part of Amos, and then we're going to tie it into everyday life. How does that relate during that time and today? Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible reads, it says, hear this word, ye kind, Bashan, that in the mountain of Samaria, that oppress the poor, that crush the needy, that say unto the Lord, bring and let us drink. The Lord Jehovah hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that they shall take you away with hooks and your residue with fish hooks. And ye shall go out into the breaches, every one straight before her, and ye shall cast yourself into Haman, saith Jehovah. Come to Bethel and train breasts, to Gilgal, and multiply transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithe every 3 days. Now, when we look at Amos, and the thing that I found so interesting in the study of Amos is, Amos was a shepherd by the spirit of the prophecy came over him. And he was a herdsman from the village of Tekoa and a dresser of sycamore trees. I thought that was so interesting during that time when we look at God can choose a shepherd. God can choose a shepherd to spread his word. You know, and when I think about the other shepherd, we look at David. David was being a shepherd.
Huh?
You know, a man after God's own heart. Amen? And God used him in a mighty way. He used him in a mighty way. He begins his prophecy in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now here, he was outspoken. He was outspoken, and he stirred the people up. Amen. The characteristics of the open word, God roars from Zion, and he utters his voice to Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Now, when I look at the word, when I look at that roar, when we look at a lion, when you think about a lion that roars, it stops you in your tracks. When a lion roars, it stops you in your tracks. And the thing about it was, when you hear a lion roar, the voice of the sound of the lion is so loud that what happens is the prey becomes afraid and doesn't know where the sound of the lion roar is coming from. And in actuality, rather than running away from the sound, what it sounds like, it's in the back of the prey. The prey ends up running into the lion. And it's for easy prey. There was something that, you know, that I through my reading, I thought was really interesting, you know, because of that. You hear the sound of a lion and you would run away. But in other words, because of the sound and the way it hits the ears of the prey, it sounds like it's in the back of the prey, and they run toward the lion. By the shepherds, he must meet the leaders of Israel who failed their flock, and the top of Carmel were likewise sitting at the top, who will be first to be stricken down. But before admonishing the Jewish people, he had much to say about the transgressions of Damascus, Gaza, Tyrus, Edom, Ammon, and Moab, all the neighbors of the two Jewish kingdoms who would suffer the consequences of their evil ways. Then he goes on and he addresses Judah. Thus with God, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not withhold my punishment because they have despised the Torah of God and have kept his commandments. Despised the Torah, the word of God. And we're going to get deeper into that when we start talking and looking about it in terms of despising the Torah. In similar words, he begins his prophecy against the northern kingdom. Now, during this time, he was a shepherd, and God called him out, which a shepherd, and he also tended sycamore trees, but God called him out to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And during this time, there was nothing but fighting during that time, nothing but war. There was no peace. There was nothing but war during the time that God sent him out to the northern kingdom. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not withhold my punishment because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Now, I'm going to read that again. Thus said God, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not withhold my punishment because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Fiercely, the prophet admonishes the kind beast of Bashan. Now, the beast of Bashan, that was their idol. That was their idol during that time. That in the mountains of Samaria, who were oppressed, the poor, were crushed, they were crushed, and they were needy. He warned the rich who had amassed their fortunes by cheating and robbing, that they would not enjoy their riches, but would lose everything when the land went down to doom. He said, thus says the Lord, God of the house of Israel, seek me and you shall live. Seek me and you shall live. How many times have God given us a second chance? How many times have we messed up and God has given us a second chance? And here in Amos, it's saying that God was sent to Amos to give them a word to admonish them about their wicked ways, and he gave them opportunity to turn. Seek me, and ye shall live. Now, metaphorically, we can look at that in a number of different ways in terms of living. We can look at it in terms of living by the world standard or living spiritually. So we can even go there as we get further into this. It says, and he also says, hate evil and love good, and establish justice firmly in the courts. Then perhaps God, the Lord of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. By the remnant of Joseph, the prophets meant that the kingdom of the 10 tribes, for it was the tribe of Ephraim, the son of Joseph, that Jeroboam had first come from and established his new kingdom in opposition of the kingdom of Judah. Now think about this, that word opposition, and keep in mind, during this time, there was opposition between the kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Neither one of them were in agreement. Neither of the two kingdoms were in agreement. Amos was not afraid to appear in Bethel at the very time when the crowds were gathered, there to worship the golden calf which Jeroboam the first had set up in a special temple. In the very midst of the celebration, and this is when Amos comes in and announces the terrible punishment that God would bring upon the simple people of Israel, the crowd became angry. And their leader, the false priest, whose name was Amaziah, incited the people to do violence to Amos. However, King Jeroboam protected the prophet and let no harm befall upon him. So what the false prophet Amaziah did was he tried to ridicule the prophet Amos by warning him to flee, go to Judah. And he said, where you'll find more of your kind. You need to get out of here and go where there are others who are just like you. You're not wanted here. But Amos replied that he was no professional prophet, nor a prophet's disciple, but a simple man from the land, a breeder of sheep. Amos declared boldly and fiercely that God had sent him to Bethel to speak in his name and to warn the people of impending doom. The prophet reminded the people that the many kindness that God had shown upon them, since the beginning of their history as a people. You only have all my families on the earth. You are the only ones that I know here. Why? Because I am, this is where I come from. You are the only ones I know. So God sent me to you first. Therefore, I will visit upon all of your sins. The prophet said, telling them that because God has chosen them as his people, he demanded them higher standards, like a loving father punishes his erring son who messed up just because he loved him. So God would punish them for their sins. Now, I'm going to stop there, and the things that I want to talk about is looking at what happened during Amos' days, first of all, talking about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. Now, oftentimes we look at in society the rich getting richer, but I would like for you to think about a time when things were low in your life and how you felt. Maybe the finances stopped. Maybe some things in your life began to become confused and you couldn't see straight. Maybe there was turmoil in your family. So whatever the case may be, think about a time when you was at your lowest. Now, when you was at your lowest, and I want you just to reflect, when you was at your lowest, how did you feel? Now, as you take a minute and think about that, when you was at your lowest, now I want you to think about someone that came and gave a word to you of encouragement to remind you or to encourage you that what you see now does not mean that it's always going to be like that. Amen?
Amen.
And here, and I'm going to go back to that piece where it says, and it talks about in terms of loving your neighbor in spite of how you see them. How do you see that? How do you see that? But amongst you, the Jewish people had much transgression in Damascus. Fearlessly, the prophet admonishes, talks about those, the poor who were oppressed in Samaria, those who were oppressed, those who were poor, those who were crushed, and the needy. Now, during this time, believe it or not, during this time, the Jewish, they went through the same stages. But what happened was when Amos came in, Amos changed everything. What his father messed up, he corrected. And all of a sudden, now you have the northern and the southern are getting along. Because you began to start to get along, now all of a sudden you began to prosper. Now, the problem here is once they prospered, they forgot where they came from. They forgot where they came from. And they lost sight of the Word of God or the Torah. And they began to start to establish their own idol. Now, I'm going to open up the mic. How do you see that? How does that read to you? I'm just going to open up the mic, and we just, again, this is an interactive Bible study. How do you see that? Any comments? Well, let me say this. Where do you think we are as a Christian, as Christians, men and women of God, and our purpose here on this earth?
Well, I feel like our purpose here on earth, that when God renew our minds and he save us and he strengthen us by his Holy Spirit, that we're supposed to be able to go back where we came from and mm-hmm. be a living witness of the goodness of Jesus and loving on those people when we interact with them and not look down on them but try to encourage Amen. Them.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Any more comments? All we're basically talking about is just the grace, you know, the goodness and grace of God. That's all we're talking about. And where we are at this point in time. Are we doing what we're supposed to do?
I also believe, too.
There's a comment out there. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I also believe that once, like the sister said, once God has delivered you out of that situation and healed you out of that situation, I believe that we are supposed to go back to those people and pray for those people and get them back to come forward in God as well. We are not supposed to Amen. Leave our brothers and sisters back. We should be able to go back and get them, you know, and bring them to Christ. Because remember, we are our brother's keeper, and we are supposed to look at for one another. We're not supposed to get what God gave us and just keep on moving. No, we're supposed to go back and share what God has done for us.
Amen.
But so many times, you know, I see the believer will go get themselves, I don't know if I should even say a believer, but they'll go, they'll get to learn about God, and they'll start, you know, get to see the benefits of it. And then they'll turn their fellowship into like a social club. And then when people
Hello? Yes, I can hear you. I don't know if I'm having a problem with them. Can anybody, everybody hear me on this side? Can you hear me? Is my mic coming clear?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Yes. But okay. It's like they'll turn the church into a social club. And then when the people from the outside that are not saved try to come in, they make them feel excluded.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Right. That's exactly right. And they so blind to not really knowing what God meant for us to be doing, they think they're doing the right thing. And they look at them with their noses turned up sometime when they come into the church, and they don't want to be bothered. Like, oh, they ain't gonna never do nothing. They their whole family act like that, and all this other stuff. But you know, that may have been the last time that person may have, you know, that may be the last time that person get to experience Christ. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they feel like they're being excluded. They don't belong. They don't fit. They're not part. And they're not feeling welcome when they come into the church. But believers have to really get a good understanding of what the scripture means and what our purpose is as being believers. God did not save us to turn the church into a social club. He saved us because that church is a hospital for us to minister to people that are coming in and love them. It don't matter what they look like, what they got on, what they drove the church in. That none of that stuff matters.
Hallelujah. Amen. I like that term, when you say hospital. That's a place where we come to be healed. Amen.
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 And then I think also, when we look at Amos, Amos was a very unlikely leader in that overseeing sycamore trees and being a shepherd and his only credentials was the kingdom came from God, and he took on that leadership and then to be an example for others, you know, to unite and bring about that sense of love. And we can be faced with situations that can be very dire, and we think it's, you know, what do we do? We roll over, or do we go to God? Do we give up? Do we try to encourage others? Which I see clearly now, you know, what my situation is, how am I supposed to serve other people? You know, how can I make a difference?
Amen.
And you think of the people in that time, the northern region and the southern region, were once united. They became enemies of each other, and they forgot the Torah, the God's words, and they started accepting their own gods, you know. And idolizing the rich, and the rich getting richer, and the poor getting poor. But anyway, seeking me, and you shall live. You know. But anyway, going toward God, hate evil and love our God.
Amen.
But you have to look at yourself and introspect, and make sure that you're following that example. You know, we're in school learning. You know. But anyway, like you said, the church is a hospital. It's open for everybody. And even if you travel, you're a healer as well. You're supposed to make a difference in the lives of other people you come in contact with. They should be richer by just your presence, that you were there and you made a difference in their lives by just a positive word. Not that you were there, you said so many negative things that the person didn't want to live any longer. Be careful about the words that come out of your mouth and your actions.
Amen. Right. I have 403. I see a question mark here. 403. 403. Okay, I guess. All right. But anyway, do you know, one of the things I wanted to bring out during this time of Amos was during the time there was nothing but war going on, and both the North and the South were oppressed. They were doing poorly, and when Amos came in and they began to start to have friendly relationships, and all of a sudden then they began to start to prosper. They prospered to the point they had a little bit too much. But there were those, the Gentiles that was there, who were still oppressed, And they were, you know what, and the thing that got me was how they sold them. They sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Could you imagine that? Being sold for a pair of sandals. And when God looked at that, he did not like that at all. And that was one of the things where Amos became the prophet to warn them because of their evil ways. And think about our lives. At one time, I can remember times that I was laid off and I didn't know where the money was coming from. I didn't know how we was going to make it. And then all of a sudden, when things began to start to get better, you can't lose sight of where you came from. And here I see what the people did. It was they took their eyes off of God. And that's, I thought it was so profound. Seek me and you shall live. Seek the good and not the evil in order that you may live, that God, the Lord of hosts, be with you. He's not only talking about to the time of Amos' era, he's talking about today also. Both these prophecies, and sometimes we get caught up, and when I say idols, even though they had golden idols during then, think about the idols that we establish, the things that we love more than God, the things that we put in front of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, and the word here is saying, seek me and you shall live. I can give a testimony right now that, I would be afraid to go the other direction. I would be literally afraid. Because when God pours his word in you and you begin to start to know too much, you're talking about being afraid of God, and it's not being afraid of God because of he's going to punish you because he's evil, but it's almost like he says here when he talks about Amos, God becomes our father, and he punishes us like a child so to correct us so that we can get it right.
Uh-huh.
So that we can get it right. I just thought it was so interesting with this with Amos, and it just applies to our everyday life. Our everyday life. Money, the root of all evil. Can you have too much money to the point where all of a sudden the preacher begins to ask you to put a tenth of your tithe, and it's almost like you don't want to do that? Why? Because you don't want to give up the money. But yet, God is the creator of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
And the money, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you.
Amen. Amen. Can't take it with you. Amen. Amen.
But God is forever.
That's why.
Comment.
That's why it's important that you can never. I was saying that's why it's important that you should never forget where you came from. Never forget what God has done for you. No matter how big you get, no matter how whatever. Always know where it came from. Because he could cut you down quickly. He could cut that blessing real quick. So it's important to give him praise and give him glory, give him praise, give him honor in everything that he has done. Because it's not of you, it's God did that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's why, when I get up early in the morning, I thank God for giving me breath. Because you could have wiped that breath line right out of me. as I was sleeping that night. But you gave me another opportunity to get it right.
That's true.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Any more comments? We are an interactive Bible study, and I love when we communicate. Amen. Hallelujah. For those who just came in, I'm looking at a couple of numbers that just tuned in. We're talking about the book of Amos, and we're just talking about the oppressed, the poor, and the needy. And sometimes we have too much to the point where we forget about the oppressed, the poor, and the needy. We forget about. And here Amos is admonishing the people during that time to remind them that God does not like the idea that his people are oppressed. And we look over them. This is where Amos is. He's prophesying to the people and letting them know what thus says the Lord. I mean, that was only a part of it, but you know, they also began to worship. You know, their worship was not of God. They had false prophets there, you know, who was leading them in the wrong direction, and the false prophets prophesying for prosperity for them. You know, it's just us prophesying. You know, his prophecies was for the wealthy and not the poor. They were oppressed. They were trampled on. They were sold for a sandal. Sold for a sandal. That means that they weren't even looked at as a human being. That's a part of. Now, I begin to, and the thing I'm looking at is, where are we at this point? Where are we at this point? Have we forgotten about the oppressed, the needy, and the poor? What are we talking about this?
Brother John.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with what you just said. I definitely believe that place where we forget that Christ didn't come for those who were privileged. He came for the disenfranchised and for those who were marginalized. And I think what you just made an interesting point, which is something that needs to be noted. You said during Amos time, you had people that were trying to preach these prosperity gospel type things, and they were looking gain and not to really help the oppressed. The same thing is happening today, and we have to be careful because the word of God is true. When Jesus even tells us we're going to have the widows and the poor with us, and we are to take care of them, but sometimes we get so sidetracked in our own selfishness that we forget that the word of God is really true. And the book of Amos is a reminder that we're living in that type of day and age today.
Amen.
Like nothing has really changed, but God is warning the church even today that it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up and to begin to see that there's work to do. When Jesus commissioned the 12, he didn't commission them to go out there for self-gain and self-aggrandizement. He commissioned them to get dirty. And I think that we have those type of prophets, as that's in the day of Amos, that are trying to rear their ugly heads now. But the body of Christ got to join together and really live this word and live the great commission which Christ has called us to.
Amen. I like what you said. I like what you said in terms of the body of Christ has to come together. That's a powerful piece right there. When you say the body, that means the arm, the leg, that means the foot, that means everything that's joined to the body has to come together.
Right. They can't try to operate one without the other. I mean, it's crazy to see the hand trying to cook something or stir something, and it has no direction with the eyes to see where it's going. You have to come together. Amos was admonishing those people to do that. I mean, you're constantly, and we look at it today. We have all types of forms of oppression, and even in this country, and if you just look at it, our United States in itself, we have various forms of oppression that are not being addressed. You have, I mean, you back in the day with slavery, now you have the penal institution that's a form of oppression that has not truly been dealt with. You have all these modern day forms of oppression that people are not speaking out because they're gaining and they're profiting from them and not really doing the work of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we get to the point where I get right back to that, to the body of Christ. We used to operate together. When did we get to the point where we began to operate together? When we come together for the common purpose for the uplifting and building the kingdom. Jesus right here, you know, Jesus is smarter. You're moving your phone in the background, but nobody's coming through the microphone. Amen. Thank you so much. Amos is exposing the successful. He's exposing the successful to be successful and reminding them what their purpose is, that they're not to forget about it. Amen.
And
I threw that challenge out there again, you know, and it's even to myself. You know, do we attend to the oppressed, the poor,
yeah,
and the needy, and for me also?
See, you know, Brother John, I'm listening. Everything you're saying is right on point. I'm listening to everything you're saying is right on point. And one part of the book of Amos that has always stuck out with me in my reading it is found in the fifth chapter, verse 21.
Okay.
And it says in Amos 5:21, I despise your feast days, and I would not smell in your solemn assemblies. So ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. God is talking about their worship that they were giving him. He was not honoring their worship. He was so despised and hated what they were doing in their form of worshiping him that they did not rise to the occasion of what God wanted, true worship. And I find that to be the same case today, that we have a lot of what looks like church, but no true church going on, but looks like worship isn't true worship. And sometimes I wonder if the smell of that worship and praise go up before God is a foul smell into his nostrils on what we think we're doing is the right thing in the church standpoint, and God is not pleased with what we're doing. Because it doesn't do good for you, everyone to come to church looking good, smelling good, driving good, but you got somebody who's walking, barely making it to church, and you pass them by. Or you got somebody at church hungry, and you sit up there with a feast in front of you eating, and you don't even break bread with the person next to you.
Wow, that's good. Amen.
And God admonished them in the book of Amos, the fifth chapter, that don't give me no fake worship. Don't give me that what you think I want is your worship. He said, what you think that you've given me, he said, I hate it. Matter of fact, I despise it. And it's one thing to be hated. It's another thing to be hated and despised. God said, all your rituals that you're doing, all your gathering of the assembly, he said, y'all could have stayed at home pretty much. He said, because I don't even honor it. I don't want it. I hate it. I despise it. Now, could you imagine if God came down right before the preacher got up there, all this praise and worship went forth, and before the preacher got to get a word, God said, I despise everything y'all just did. That's something to think about. When we go into our churches, thinking that we're doing God a favor, or we're doing something that's pleasing to God, and we're not doing the work of an evangelist. We're not doing the work of a true disciple. We have to go back out there and go get the fish, and not try to clean them. Our job isn't to clean them. Our job is to go out there and get them.
Interesting point. But you know, also with that same word. 5:21, I hate, I despise your religious peace. So anyway, you think of the church as
as a hospital. And sometimes there are individuals who are training in repetition, doing things for, you know, to gain attention or doing it for the wrong reason. They're not doing it for the love of God or doing God's word. So sometimes the church is a hospital. Sometimes physically required in order to remedy that. And it's only that effective healing. But sometimes surgery is actually needed, you know, and that's the place for it to occur. Spiritual surgery. You have to look at ourselves, examine what's going on, make adjustments. There are people doing, like truly representing themselves to be the, you know, the Word of God and, you know, teaching the false prophets, the false teachers. But anyway, sometimes surgery needs to be done to remove that and take corrective action, appropriate medicine. Relying on God,
and
we
become
healthy.
Yeah, amen.
But the problem we have with that, the problem we have with that is, we have some people walking around with conditions they don't know they have. I'm reminded, they're walking around with these conditions. My father is a pastor here in the city of Cleveland, and every Sunday he would preach out of the depths of his soul, and I would wonder what would he do. He turned his head to the left. Unbeknownst to us, he was popping nitroglycerin. When I took him to the doctor to get the angioplastic little procedure done, they said, we can't do it. You have 100% blockage in one artery, 85% blockage in the other, and 65%. But he's still operating as pastor, preaching the word of God. So he's operating with a condition that he's not acknowledging that he had. Surgery, in order for somebody to know they had to have surgery, they first must go see the physician to be diagnosed with a problem. And the problem, I believe, is that the church, some people in the church, they're not going to the physician for diagnosis. They're going to the physician to try to please the physician and tell to make it look like appear that it's okay. The doctor asked you what's wrong. Well, I feel fine. When you go deep down inside that you're dealing with headaches, migraines, all this other stuff, and you don't know what the cause of it is, or you think you know what the cause of it. Some people are operating with conditions they do not have. And just to expand a little bit more on Amos 5:21, it says, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings with your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. That was a famous quote by Dr. Martin Luther King that he used when he was giving his speech. God is, and he said, the church is doing the church thing, but they're not doing God's thing. And because they're operating, not knowing they got these conditions, so they go in the church, they're still able to operate, they're still able to preach, they're still able to teach, they're still able to sing, play, and all everything, they can function, they're functioning okay, but deep down inside, they don't know they're a walking time bomb in the spiritual realm.
Using the church as a rehab.
Exactly, and now I wouldn't even say a rehab system, because the rehab you're supposed to get work on and get well.
You know, last night we were talking about it in my Bible study, and we were talking about the same thing about the church being a rehab, and what my pastor was sharing with us, he was saying what they're doing, they're going to the church and learning how to operate in their.
And go right back out there. Yeah, and go back out there to do it even better. And that's
nine times out of ten, when they go through rehab, they always end up relapsing.
Okay, and because they're not, first of all, they're not truly acknowledging the depth of that condition.
That's right.
They're acknowledging what people are saying.
That's
and
right.
And how family members and loved ones are saying that they got a problem. Okay, well, just let me get them off my back. Let me go. But deep down they're not truly experiencing that. I want to be totally delivered. I got one foot in and one foot out.
They're on a banana peel, and I call that a mummy. You know how they wrap a mummy up, something that's dead. They wrap it up.
And
it's pretty.
And
it
looks good.
This thing is rotten.
I share this when I teach my young adults, and I tell them how dangerous it is to straddle the fence going back and forth. I said, I ran track, and I was a hurler. I said, and I seen some guy trying to hurdle the fence. And I said, he had one foot in and tried to get one foot over, but he got stuck and he couldn't get it. I said, what happens if you're going back and forth trying to hurdle something, and you're not truly meaning to clear it and you're trying to play, you'll hurt what's in between your legs, and what's in between your legs is what's produced life. So you'll cut the life out of what God has placed inside of you by trying to straddle the fence.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, sir.
But you need to remember that the true physician at the hospital is God. And so anyway, the Bible is His word, and in medicine there's something called ICD-10, International Classification of Diseases, 10th edition. All the diseases that exist, they keep updating it. There'll be a ICD-10, 11, 12. But anyway, it lists what the illness is, and then you have an idea of how to cure it. And, but anyway, the Bible is that ICD-10, you know, set all the illnesses. And then God is our practitioner, our doctor. We have to go to Him. We can't go to somebody to cure us. We have to understand our illness and rely on God to cure us.
You, brother, you just said something very vital, and I definitely agree. But the one part that really sticks out in what you just said, you have to get up and go to God. Some people ain't going to Him.
Right.
They're relying on mother's religion, grandmother's religion, and that intimate personal relationship in which God is requiring of us. We're not even beginning to get to know the depths of who He really is. So we do what they did in Amos. They go to church and put on the mask of church. They'll go there. Satan's a great imitator. And you have people that go there. They can out-shout you, and their heart is just as rotten. They can out-pray you, and their intention is just as evil. I mean, if people truly go to God, first being transparent.
They get delivered.
And
they will get delivered.
First, and they will get delivered from it, but they have to first be transparent before an all-knowing God. I mean, it doesn't do any good for me to go to the doctor and tell the doctor, well, I've been having a little bit of headaches, and they give me something or give some hiccups, some ibuprofen, when I'm telling the doctor I'm eating all types of pork, I'm doing this, and knowing I got high blood pressure. So if I'm not real with my earthly physician so I can get diagnosed properly, I mean, I have to be real with my spiritual physician.
Amen.
I was just having a conversation with the women's ministry the other day, and one of the things I was talking about for stuff for 2016 was to do for the women's workshop was the first thing we were going to break in with was stop hiding in the pews. The next thing that we were going to talk about was stop hiding in the pews.
Okay.
Stop hiding. So and then the next thing was going to be transparent. People do not want to be transparent.
Yeah, so true.
And they want to slide in the church and slide right back out, and they think that is going to get them where they need to be, but that's not.
But transparency causes you to you have to be honest, and there comes a point where people have to be honest. So that's why you have folks floating from church to church where they look like they're holy Christians, and everybody in the Christian circles knows them and so forth. And they never commit. They hide in the pews, like you said, and they don't. They live one life on Sunday from 10:45 to 2, and there's something else the rest of the week. You know, the rest of the time they're hiding, and that's convenient because that's the way they learn. What we as a people have as members of the church, especially in church leadership, need to do is call people to authenticity. You know, confront their authenticity and to know that there's forgiveness, too. Because sometimes people believe that they won't be accepted because, like someone had said earlier about they've been living off of mama and grandma's religion for years. We've done what we've been taught. We know how to behave at church. We know the right words to say. We know when to say amen. We know when it's okay to shout. We know all the clues and cues and everything, but we never have come to a place of authenticity and really accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and having a true relationship with Jesus. When you have that true relationship with Jesus, you know that it's just as you are.
is just as you are, whether you're perfect or not. No one's perfect. Whether you got it, whether you did it right or not, whether you, you know, all of that stuff. We learn how to not be part of the social club if somebody step before, but to become part of the kingdom.
And I think part of that also is it's twofold. The church not only have to show authenticity and show people how to, they also have to be transparent to a degree that they're not a stumbling block for anyone. But they have to be transparent. It doesn't do any good for leaders to get delivered and put their nose up in the air. I tell people this, we are fishermen. And one thing I remember about going fishing with my grandfather is that we would catch the fish and take them back. I couldn't wait to get home and take a shower because the stench of fish was still on me, although I was not fishing. I don't care if you were the fisherman or you're the fish. The smell of fish, the smell of that sea is going to always remain on you. So we can't try to separate ourselves and get uppity when we realize that it's just by God's grace that we have been cleaned up. But if you're fishing,
yes,
you still can get that smell of fish on you if you're doing the work of a fisherman. So we have to be careful that even as we're going out here trying to show people that we're not so uppity that we push people out of the church instead of being transparent and let them know, yes, I may be an ex-something and you may be dealing with it now, but here's how I got to where I've become an ex in it. It is through the path of Christ. And if we're in love showing people how to do that, we will see a lot more people come into church. And then second part, I'm going to keep my mouth closed, Brother John. Second part of that, the second part I want to say is if we're showing them how to be transparent and we're being transparent with them, we have to create an atmosphere of confidentiality. We have to create an atmosphere where people are comfortable revealing themselves, the deep, dirty, nasty stuff. If you want people to get that out of them, the atmosphere of love must be the foundation that I'm not going to judge you, whatever your condition may be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to judge
mm-hmm.
you. I'm going to love you through because somebody had to love me through my best.
So oh,
I'm going to love you through it, and I'm going to work with
mm-hmm.
you, and I'm going to be quiet because, you know, I'll start preaching in a minute. But we have to do that. We have to learn how to love people through these situations while we're yet being transparent. No, it's just by the blood of Christ that I'm where I'm at. So let me introduce you to this person. Let me introduce you to this Jesus that got me to the place that I'm now an ex. And we all can be an ex something. And I tell people the ex is not an ex to say you have no name. The ex is the cross, the stamp of the cross that was carried upon him. And when he stood straight up, it became the cross of Calvary. If
mm-hmm.
I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord,
amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things I want to mention is, you know, we discussed, you know, all these things, you know, but I think one of the things that we what we fall short, and what Amos did during his era of the movement, he was admonishing the people to come to repentance.
Right.
And I think that is the heart of it all. You know, that is the heart of it all, even with David.
Yes.
To repentance, and I think that's when we get to the point as a people, as a nation, we begin to start to come to repentance. We repent to the Lord for our sins. He forgives us. But the problem is, after a while, the heart becomes hard, and you don't want to repent. You continue doing what you're doing without asking God for forgiveness.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's the heart of it all, is the repentance. You know, coming to God and saying, you know what, I messed up. And we all
mm-hmm.
I messed up. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But, you know, I messed up. God, forgive me. And you know what? It becomes a part of our conscience because after we repent, then it becomes between us and God. And you know what? After a while, you can only go back for so many times because it messes with your mind. It messes with you. Then you just stop altogether. You know, because you just feel guilty because you keep coming. But God wants us to continue to come. And that's nothing but the enemy that prevents us from coming to God on a regular. Listen, we mess up every day. We sin every day. There's no one righteous. There's no one with Christ. So until we get to the point where we can come as a nation to repent before God, that's when the healing begins to take place.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amen.
Any more comments? Any more comments? Boy, this is a really, really, really staying test. If we're at the close, this is 8 o'clock now, and we want to be closing, shutting down. Any more comments? Amen. I see a lot of numbers already. Any more comments? Any comments before we close? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reverend, you want to, would you like to close out in prayer?
Who, you talking about me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what our ears have heard, O God. Father God, we thank you to know that you're not a God that takes sides, but God, you're on the side of the marginalized, on the oppressed, oh God. You're on the side of the people who really need you, oh God. And we thank you right now for your grace and for your mercy, oh God. Father God, help us to be mindful, oh God, what it is that you called us to, oh God. Now let's not get the big head, oh God, and make us think that we're better than what we are, oh God, but keep us humble in what we're doing for the kingdom, oh God. Father God, help us to be mindful that we are our brother's keeper and we are to reach back out just as you drafted us in and pull someone else into the kingdom, oh God. We thank you right now, God, and we ask you to pour back into Brother John what he's poured out so graciously to your people. And God, we shall give your name the praise. We thank you in advance, oh God, for the many blessings you're bestowing upon us. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen, 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 amen. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in. For those of you that tuned in by internet, keep in mind you can always call 347-237-4054. And you can interact just as we've been doing. And all we're doing is just encouraging each other. Amen. And we pray that something has been said that has been blessing to you that's listening. And that's the purpose of coming together as the body of Christ. You know, we're all one in the outside of God. And we just thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday. We have Pastor Elder Roses will be speaking from Atlanta next week. We invite you to be a part of it. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next time, God bless you.
Again. No matter what you've been told, it's not just